My name is Val Amsden, and I'm your host of This Side of the Grass. Throughout my experience with the death of very close loved ones, I learned that not many people are prepared for the inevitable. Someday we will all die. On this podcast, I hope to normalize these conversations about dying, not only so we can be prepared, but more importantly, so that we can truly live every single day with purpose and intention that we are blessed to be here on this side of the grass. Welcome back to This Side of the Grass. I'm your host, Val Amsden. Glad you're with me today for another episode. I'm very excited today to have a guest with me again, and our topic is friendships after loss, which kind of has a double meaning, which we will definitely get into. But I have Sherry Erickson with me today. Hello.
Hi. Welcome. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for being here. Sherry and I are new friends. This is only the second time that we've met in person, but this was a very timely introduction by a mutual friend. Mm-hmm. And as Sherry and I first met and shared our stories with each other, our stories of loss, I immediately wanted her on the podcast because of what she has to offer in her story. And in talking about friendships after loss, we have developed a friendship after loss. Mm-hmm. But there's also that second dynamic of relationships and what happens to them after a loss happens, if you already have that relationship. So that's our introduction to the topic for the day. But Sherry, would you please share your story with us?
Yes, I'm so excited to be here today. Thank you.
And yeah, I'm so glad to have
you. So my story is, I'm a respiratory therapist by training. I worked at United Hospital for 11 years before venturing out to the business side. And I worked in medical sales for a long period of time and ended my healthcare career in sleep medicine. So during that time when I worked in the hospital, I was always honored and amazed when somebody coded and essentially went through a life-changing experience. I was always in awe of 1 minute we're here, the next second we're gone.
Okay.
And then thinking about just what that person is going through and that journey of transition.
So you've always had kind of a fascination.
I have.
With the journey from one life to whatever it is that comes next.
Yes. And that we do really have a whole journey. And for us to think about that and to honor that end part as much as how celebratory we are when we come into the world.
Sure.
Even though it's a little messy when we come in.
Might be messy when we go out, too.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, so then, the biggest loss that I experienced personally was when my dad died unexpectedly on New Year's Day at the age of 57. So that was the first experience where it really touched my heart and really changed my life and our family's life.
Yeah, and for you and I, when we had that connection of your dad was 57, my mom was 57.
Yes.
We've both lost this parent as younger than they should be, but we ourselves, we weren't tiny children.
Right.
But we were just entering adulthood ourselves and how that shapes where you go.
Right, right, for sure. And then to even, you know, to help our loved ones through it, but also how we have to try to take care of ourselves during it. It's also new. So it's ongoing. And then probably the biggest story we shared together was the loss of your brother.
Yes.
And then we had our family had a big change when our daughter-in-law died.
And I'm going to pause you only because this was such an aha moment to me when we spoke and where I'd love to take this as you share that part of your story. You didn't share that with me right away as we met and were introduced to each other. And it was just you and I in that room, right? Just having a conversation because this mutual friend said, you two should meet. And that's really all he said.
Yes.
And you had framed it two or three different times before you got into the detail with me. You said there was a tragedy in our family.
I did.
Would you tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, our son got married about a little over 10 years ago, almost 11 years ago, and they were expecting their first child. And our family tragedy was we lost our daughter-in-law when our granddaughter was born. She was on life support for a number of days. And just the shock to go from incredible joy to yes. that loss in a split second, a blink of an eye, which we always hear that blink of an eye, how right. fast life can change.
Yes.
And just the trauma of that experience. And, you know, to navigate even that whole day. I mean, I had worked in the hospital for so many years. I'd had the privilege of helping with different things. But that emotion was so overwhelming. And then to watch my bonus son go through that whole day, it was like so incredibly painful and shocking.
What do you remember about that day? Because I know for me, when I think back on the day that Dan died in a hospital mm-hmm. so suddenly, there are pieces that are vivid and there are pieces that I don't remember at all. They just feel like a blur. So what do you remember about that day, and specifically with others that were there with you who were also experiencing that same trauma?
Mm-hmm. We had all the grandparents there. So
because of the baby.
The baby. The baby was coming.
Yeah.
And then our daughter-in-law's mom was in the birthing room with them.
Okay.
And everybody was so excited.
Sure.
And then she came out and shared the news. And it went complete change from there. They had to do a C-section with our granddaughter. And then we had to transfer to a different hospital facility.
Okay, so something went wrong
right.
during the delivery.
Right, yep.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was very, it still is shocking sometimes
yes.
when you really think about it.
Well, and you're 9 years removed right now, correct?
Right, right. Yes, and our son just going from expecting this joy.
Yes.
And then, you know, it's so sweet now when somebody is born, how they really take the child and get it to one of the parents.
Yes.
To get, and they still did all that. It was just incredibly beautiful and just in awe of how the medical staff came together and then transferring and moving everybody down to the different facility. We each took a loved one with us, one to the ambulance, I drove our daughter-in-law's dad, and his mom went with him in the ambulance, and then her mom went with her in the ambulance too. So they had two.
And your daughter-in-law, her name is Jenny.
Jenny.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So, and it was just, I think of her because we had a false run the night before going to the hospital. And we were lucky enough to go with them.
They thought they were in labor.
Yes, yes. We had just taken food up there.
Okay.
And it was her food of choice. We sat down at the table. She goes, I think I need to go to the hospital. And so we ended up going. And so when I look back, I try to think of that joyful moment when we were standing outside.
Well, you're telling me this was such a smile on your face, Sherry.
Oh, my gosh, because I just remember her with just this joy. Looking down and talking to our
sure.
granddaughter and just saying, okay, come on out. I'm ready.
I'm ready for you.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought of that moment and just still how it happened so fast. I feel like she really still took care of our granddaughter and helping her. I consider her a miracle.
Wow.
Both of them, of what they did to make it in this world.
So that day, the real trip to the hospital.
Yes.
So not the night before where they ended up having to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
So the day that your granddaughter was born, so Jenny's mom came out mm-hmm. and said, this is what happened.
Yes.
You mentioned to me, and maybe this was the time that you did, or maybe it was later, but you mentioned to me that your mind immediately went to, I need to start taking notes.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, just because when we're all in shock, and I started thinking about Jenny's parents, just what that's like for your child.
Yes.
To do that, to go through that and navigate that. And yeah. I thought it was one way I could help. And so that's kind of it's my area.
Yes.
I've worked in the hospital for years. So I just started kind of doing that And then, too, once we got to the hospital and everybody got situated and they had the visits with the physicians and they updated us of what was going on, you know, it just became clear. And I asked if I could help with some of the things that needed to be done. And our son, it was just like, what can we do to protect him and help him?
So she was on life support for a number of days.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What were you able to, or what did you try to do in those few days as the decision loomed of what is next?
Really just talking through kind of what that would be. And we had a couple family meetings, one with the physicians, of them sharing what would be happening, and then kind of what directions they wanted to go in navigating that whole thing.
Wow.
And then I called a dear friend of mine and shared what happened. And I think I shared this with you.
Yeah, that she flew.
Yes, yes. And she was such a gift to come.
And she flew to be with you.
Yes, because she was on her way to London. And she said, do you want me to come? And she did. So we look at those little angels at certain things when they happen.
Yes, and that comes back to the relationships when you have a loss.
Mm-hmm.
The people that step forward at the time or immediately following.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the weeks and the months and the years that follow, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So how old was Jenny?
29.
So young.
So young.
And her parents were both there.
Both there. Mm-hmm. They drove up from Iowa that morning.
Okay.
And we're there. We're all waiting, trying to be patient, waiting.
For the baby.
For the baby.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then this takes a turn.
Mm-hmm.
So while you and your son and your husband and Jenny's parents and all the family are waiting,
mm-hmm.
there's also this new life.
Right.
What was happening with the baby and your son during these few days? How was that?
Yeah, I think reality started coming quickly. Jenny was a school teacher.
Okay.
So she was very used to kids, super excited about kids. He's my bonus son, his only child. And so he just realized that he was going to have to take this baby home alone. So he and his, you know, thinking through everything, he went to the nurses and said, okay, I need you to teach me everything I need to know to take this baby home. And I think part of that was shock. Part of it was reality. Part of it was just thinking, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm doing. And so they did.
As every parent
feels. I know.
They're leaving the hospital, right?
Like, that's right.
Doesn't this thing come with a manual?
Yeah. Can you come home with me?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yes.
The overwhelm already of being a new parent.
Mm-hmm.
And adding to that, you no longer have this person to help you.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've also got this shock and the grief
mm-hmm.
to go along with it.
Yep.
Oh. We're 9 years removed
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be comfortable sharing where everything is at with those relationships and how your son is doing and where it's at now? Because I think in my experience and perspective, mm-hmm. there's a lot of... We're here. What can we do? How can we help?
Mm-hmm.
Offering of childcare or food or whatever people can think to help
mm-hmm.
happens in the immediate aftermath of a tragedy.
Right.
Right? The mm-hmm. days and weeks, sometimes months that follow, mm-hmm. but it really does trickle away.
Mm-hmm.
And we're 9 years, and I'm sure there are some days, as it is with loss, right, where you feel like it just happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And probably all of the firsts,
mm-hmm.
which with a child
mm-hmm.
are happening all the time.
Yes.
So where are things 9 years removed from something so traumatic?
Well, it's an example of life does move forward. And I think, you know, it was so sweet initially. So our granddaughter's uncle came and stayed the first month with our son. And so these two young men helping take care of a baby. the one playing guitar, you know.
This was Jenny's brother.
Jenny's brother.
Okay.
Yeah, so just so sweet. So I think of those things of just how everybody did it and just how foreign it was to all of us. It was a new experience. And then making it through the years with that and watching, you can see Jenny and our granddaughter. I mean, some of her mannerisms, just her, some of her physical structure, her looks. It was just, it's so sweet. And, you know, it takes, as you know, a lot of courage to move forward.
Yeah.
You have to be brave at moments you don't want to.
Right.
You just have to take a deep breath or just push through. And I give our son a lot of credit for doing that. He started dating, had some not so good experiences.
Sure, which makes sense, right?
I know.
Dating in general?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, let's get our books out, right?
Oh, my goodness.
This story by itself.
That's right.
Yeah. So he actually was just getting ready to come off social dating, and this woman responded to his text, and their relationship bloomed, and she's now our daughter-in-law.
Wow.
Yeah, so Nora has two moms. Is how she describes it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And she calls her mom now, and she's just an amazing young woman, really nurturing and understanding because
it has the grace to step in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I shared with you, and I won't go into specific detail because I haven't gotten her permission mm-hmm. to share this.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't give a lot of details, but I have a friend who lost her husband with small children and explained how in her mind she saw that as here's my house, my life is my house.
Mm-hmm.
He will always be a part of that house,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean I can't add on. I can still go visit that room that he's in,
mm-hmm.
but as I add on with my new relationship and add on to my house, that can all still exist
mm-hmm.
in one space
mm-hmm.
without the competition or without the comparison. And I'm curious, and if you're not comfortable sharing, we can cut this out, but your in-laws, so Jenny's parents,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure they still are around for your granddaughter.
Yes. Yes.
And that has to be a different kind of a dynamic for them as well, I would imagine.
Yes.
And how that just mm-hmm. blended type of a family.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to share some of that 9 years removed? Again, you know, it's like, how do we, in those relationships that change mm-hmm. with a loss, there's any number of directions that it could go, right?
Yes. Well, Jenny's parents retired. They both worked at the University of Iowa.
Okay.
And retired after when our granddaughter was almost three and moved to Minnesota to be nearby. So our granddaughter has the experience of just saying she's got a lot of grandparents.
I love that.
She's got like six grandparents.
I love that.
And then my mom is in the equation still.
Okay.
So she has a great Nana. And so, you know, she just views it. She's got a lot of people that love her. And that's what we all try to keep in mind.
Yeah.
And there can be, you know, dynamics going on. It's all new to all of us how to navigate the situation.
Like parenthood.
It is.
Right?
I mean,
you just don't know.
Right.
What you don't know, and then you just figure it out as you go.
Yeah. And so, and then our son decided he needed all of us to help. So our granddaughter has the joy of seeing each one of her grandparents every week.
Wow.
And then we do sleepovers once a month with her on a Friday night. And
that's incredible.
So she does. We all have different interests and tastes, and so she's learning a whole different view from everybody. And it's amazing, including our new daughter-in-law's mom as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And there's no way to know because mm-hmm. there's no undoing what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the intention, I'm sure, is more specific, or because of the loss, you have that extra intention to spend the time
mm-hmm.
while you can, to be involved. Maybe Jenny's parents wouldn't have moved to Minnesota from Iowa if not for what happened. I mean, who's mm-hmm. to say, right?
Yeah, right, right.
So it just shifts the perspective for everybody.
It does.
But it just sounds like there's just a lot of love and a lot of compassion. And I'm sure there's talks about who Jenny was, and it's part of the family conversation still, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And you just mentioned that the timeliness of our conversation today is you just had an aunt that passed away.
Right, last week.
Okay, so there's loss all around us, right?
Right.
So you start your career, you're fascinated by just this transition.
Mm-hmm.
You have this huge tragedy in your own family. You've lost your dad. I mean, there's so many touch points. There's so many touch points to loss.
Mm-hmm.
How do you view it now versus, you know, before all of those things happened?
You know, I think losing these people has really taught me that life really is a full journey, and that being able to think about our passing is almost just as important as what how we live. So we do live more fully, but think about what we want to leave behind too, and the things we can share with people and create the memories, because it can change so quickly.
Yes. And we always think, that can't happen to me, or that won't happen to me, or I'm too young to have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the previous episodes and action items are, if you plan, it doesn't mean you're manifesting this to happen.
Right.
It means you're acknowledging it and you're putting those plans in place so that you truly can live each day, right?
Right.
You don't have to worry about what's to come inevitably at some point, whether it's 4 days or 44 years
right
from now.
Yeah.
But it's led you to something else. Would you talk about what you're working on now because of all these experiences and touch points?
Yes, I'm looking at becoming an end-of-life doula and transitioning. How we
doula. Let's talk about the word doula, because many people probably have only heard of that
with birth.
With birth.
As did I.
Okay.
Yeah. How I first learned about it was there was an article in the Minneapolis Star Tribune about a woman who had both, it was their second marriage for both her and her husband, and her brother got Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And he went through a really difficult journey.
Okay.
And shortly after he passed, she was diagnosed with it, and she decided not to go through that journey.
Because of what she had seen.
Right, and the toll and the heartache for her, what she went through personally and what it did to their family. She wanted to make that change. And so that was the first time there was an article in there about this woman who helped make that happen.
Oh, wow.
And so it just, to me, I mean, you know, you lost your brother unexpectedly. I lost my dad unexpectedly. A year after my dad died, I had a dear friend die from AIDS, and I was his caregiver.
Wow.
And so right then, I really realized how lucky people are when you get to say goodbye.
Yes.
And so it also made me think about, why don't we live that way every day? Why don't we really be ready? And there's so many things we can do to get ready. Not just emotionally, but just to get things more tidy for our loved ones.
Yes.
And just to have conversations. Because that's one guarantee we all have. We're not here forever.
That's right. It's not even taxes anymore. People used to say death and taxes.
Yeah.
Now, if you've got the right accountants, maybe not even taxes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's amazing. So you're learning how to become a death doula, a transition. How did you phrase it? It's not specifically death doula, but I know I've heard it referred to that way.
Yeah, more for end of life transition.
End of life. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. What does that entail?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, there's just thinking through all that, there's a certification that can be done. It's not a real formalized training yet. There's a couple different things through the group where we met.
Yes.
Our table leader introduced me to a woman who is an end-of-life doula and has been doing it for over 12 years.
Wow.
And just being able to, you know, I think just like with friendships, I always think about, even when I worked in the hospital, what a gift it was to be able to take care of people.
Yes.
And some of my most interesting conversations were with my patients, and especially the cardiac patients or the end-of-life respiratory patients. And so to me, just to be able to honor that and think about it and be aware of it, and what can we do to leave our world a little bit better and also embrace it.
And that leads back to legacy, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How do you want to be remembered?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we remember those who are now gone?
Right.
So having those conversations, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for you.
I'm excited too. A little nervous, actually.
Well, of course.
Yeah, it's so different.
I mean, it's a very emotional, I would imagine,
mm-hmm.
calling,
mm-hmm.
but very purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm proud of you for taking that step.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, yes.
It's, well, this woman that I talked to has actually offered to help mentor me. And one of the things, you know, we think about it, because when you go through those losses.
Yes.
Did you feel this too, just how hard it is some days, even just some moments
yes.
of the days as time even goes on?
For sure. I mean, there and you never know. And I feel almost as if your body is reacting to something before your brain even connects, why am I feeling this way?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, oh, today I just don't want to get out of bed.
Yes.
And then you look at the calendar and say, a year ago, I was with this person at that place. Well, no wonder I'm feeling this today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your nervous system remembers.
Yes. Yep. All the
Definitely.
Firsts you have to go through.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us will likely have to feel those things and go through those things at some point with someone that we love
mm-hmm.
that is close to us. Or if we're the first ones to go,
mm-hmm.
what a gift to them. To have those conversations, right?
Right.
Oh, yes.
When I think about it, too, because I think our, like my generation and your generation, just the how fortunate we are to be able to have these open conversations.
Yes.
Because even my mom said things are so different because she teases me. She goes, well, you guys had Oprah.
She started the ball rolling
yes.
on discussing feelings.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And
well,
I think that's really true.
Yes. And it's a good reminder, too, to sort of bring it back to the friendships and the relationships mm-hmm. piece of it. We have developed a friendship because of loss, a relationship because of loss.
Mm-hmm.
But when something happens, even if we're grieving the same person, our relationship with that person changes how we're processing it
mm-hmm.
and how those around us who also potentially knew and loved that person, it changes the dynamic between us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, in my own family, my dad and my younger brother are also mourning and grieving years and years later, my mom,
mm-hmm.
but my brother as well. So this nuclear family of five, there are still three of us. It's not just me.
Mm-hmm.
There's these other two.
Right.
But knowing that they're coming from different places, you mentioned generational changes. Mm-hmm. I just listened to a podcast yesterday, the day before, talking about frame of reference and how allowing that other person to come from their frame of reference helps us to not take it personally when they do or don't do
mm-hmm.
or say or don't say something that we think maybe they should.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing those things that we just are like, why aren't you? I mean, I did this. Why haven't you? And it's not necessarily a comparison,
mm-hmm.
but maybe it's to you directly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think generationally it changes.
Yes.
And also just male to female.
Mm-hmm.
Or how you were brought up and what you've talked about in your own home,
mm-hmm.
or the losses that maybe you did experience personally if you were a child or,
yes.
you know, at a younger time, maybe you're more open to it or closed, mm-hmm. but just so many differences.
Mm-hmm.
And it does change relationships moving forward.
It does.
Which, not necessarily good or bad, I'm sure some good, some bad,
mm-hmm.
but it's just kind of one of those things. And I'll just bring it back to this this book, and I'll reference it and link to it in the show notes as well. But it's a book called Grief Day by Day. And I don't remember if I bought it or someone sent it to me shortly after my brother died. But it can be read in one sitting, but it is written so you can read one quote every day for a year.
Oh, wow.
And it's put together seven at a time. So each week has a theme. So you read about the theme for the week. You have seven quotes to read every night, and then there's sort of an action item. Again, you don't have to do it that way. Totally not how I read it. Yeah. But one of the things that struck me, this woman had written it after her husband passed away. And they weren't super young, but definitely would have had a good 20 plus years together. Mm-hmm. You know, retirement age, they wanted to travel, they wanted to do all these things. So she felt a little bit robbed of it. She wrote this book, and one of the things that she said that struck me was how many friendships no longer existed because her friends didn't know how to still be her friend following the loss. And so for them, it was easier just to not. And it wasn't abrupt. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even a conversation. They just sort of disappeared.
Yes.
So much can change.
It can.
Yeah.
It can. When you say that, it reminds me when we had the service for Jenny.
Yeah.
And when our loved ones and friends came. And even Alex's friends or Jenny's friends would say, we're going to be here for you. And then really, truly, the number that we're.
Yes.
It changes.
Yes, it does.
For the reasons you just talked about. Yeah. It's not right or wrong. It just changes.
Yeah, and it's good to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. It's good to acknowledge that. But then it also comes from those losses are these relationships that develop because of shared experiences. Mm-hmm. And so I thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
For being open to sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you.
And also being open to just have our first conversation.
Yes.
And yes, absolutely. So I end each episode, as you know, with a quote. So instead of hearing my voice at the end of the episode today, I'm going to have Sherry read a quote that she brought with her today. And she didn't even know that I did that with the quotes, and yet she brought this quote. So it's amazing. So I'm going to have you go ahead and read that for us.
So in one sense, there is no death. The life of a soul on earth lasts beyond his or her departure. You will always feel that life touching yours, that voice speaking to you, that spirit looking out of other eyes, talking to you in the familiar things he or she touched, worked with, loved as familiar friends. He or she lives on in your life and in the lives of all others that knew him or her.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you, everybody who is joining today. Remember, these action items, these conversations, they are so important. And it's not because we want to die, but just the opposite. It's so that we can truly live every single day that we're blessed to be here on the side of the grass with purpose and intention. Sherry, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Val, for having me.
Yes.
This Side of the Grass is a Divine Fox production. All thoughts and information shared on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as legal, financial, psychological, or any other professional advice.
I'm so excited to partner with Fountain Hill Winery. Guests of This Side of the Grass will receive wine from our friends at Fountain Hill in Delano, Minnesota. Many of you listening are from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, but even if you're not, if you're looking for a family-friendly getaway that's both relaxing and delicious, look no further than Fountain Hill Winery, nestled in the heart of Delano, Minnesota. Sip on handcrafted wines while savoring authentic Neapolitan pizzas made fresh to order. At Fountain Hill, the fun never stops. With events happening all year round, there's something for everyone to enjoy. From live music to seasonal festivities, their calendar is packed with excitement. Visit fhwandvineyard.com, that's fhwandvineyard.com, to stay up to date with upcoming events. Come for the wine, stay for the fun. Fountain Hill Winery, where memories are made and laughter is shared.